1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. If you're able to, for just a moment, could you stand with the reading of God's holy word? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they do not please God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so always to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost." Father, bless your word. In Christ's holy name, amen. Please be seated. This morning I want you to ponder with me the question, if someone believes the Bible, what does that mean? Genesis to Revelation, 66 books, all of it, what does it mean? Does it mean the Pope speaks sola scriptura, which means he speaks God's word? Does it mean Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and all of those have found the truth? Does it mean liberal theologians, what they tell us? I want you to know that getting this question right is paramount, is of the utmost importance. What does the Bible truly mean when someone believes the Bible? Our text today speaks to this issue. Paul is addressing this matter with the church at Thessalonica. What does it mean to believe the Bible? What does it look like? What does it taste like, smell like? What is it? Let me give you a few little truths this morning. Number one, believing the Bible means accepting its authority in all areas of life. It means accepting its authority in every area of life. Not just one, not some, but all of them. Notice what it says in verse 13. "And we thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you've heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe," Paul says. Now, there are many people in our day who want to pick and choose, who want to pick apart certain areas of God's word, and they want to agree with some, but not all of it. Maybe they believe baby Moses floated down the Nile River, but they deny that God spoke to Moses through a burning bush that was never consumed. The miracles and the virgin birth and the resurrection gives those people fits. Like many politicians and professors and movie stars and professional athletes and judges who say that certain sins are okay, and it's not wrong to disagree with the Bible. According to many, man wrote God's word, according to many. And therefore, man has the right to interpret the Bible as they so please. They equate this divine, holy book that you have in front of you, this inerrant, infallible, sacred book, with publications like the National Enquirer. Shame on them. And I would even say, to a certain degree, shame on us if we don't speak up when we have an opportunity. for not disagreeing with them. Have you ever thought about what would happen if you didn't follow this book? If you didn't love it, you didn't apply it to your life, there would, if you didn't, and you had children that didn't do the same, and your children had children, and they followed suit exactly the way you do. And let's say generation after generation decided in your family, you're the matriarch, you started the ball rolling downhill, that we're not going to accept God's word as inerrant, as holy, as divine, as righteous, as perfect and true. We're going to pick it apart. We're going to deny the resurrection, the virgin birth, and all of that. And there were 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 generations in your family because of your belief that now are pagans. Now they are totally removed from believing and accepting God's word as holy and divine and inspired. Did you know that there are generations and generations and millions of families that are doing that and that have done that? Many disagree with God's word. When someone believes the Bible, they agree with all of it, no matter how bad it cramps their style. That's what Paul's saying here. And he uses 2 important verbs here in verse 13. Notice he uses the word received. He says, you received the word of God. You received it. They listened to the message because they knew it came from God. Think of the times that you or your family or those around you, maybe you brought somebody to church and they were here but they didn't listen. They could have cared less what God's word said. They were thinking about the ball game. They were thinking about what they were going to eat. They thought about all those things. They didn't care that God was trying to get their attention and speak to them. That's not what happened to this church. Paul says, you received it. You were listening. You knew it came from God. You knew how important it was. You may have been distracted, but you allowed yourself not to be distracted. You may have been bored or unimpressed, but you said, this is God's word. I've got to listen to it. I want you to know that until the words of the Bible mean something, a man or a woman or a boy, a girl, they won't repent. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God is what the Bible says. Paul also says, not only did you receive it, he says you accepted it. You listened to it and you accepted it. You applied it to your life. Many people every Sunday listen to God's word and they're not changed by it. Paul says that the Thessalonians, they received it, they applied it, they agreed with God's holy word, they didn't try to argue with it, they didn't try to pick it apart, they didn't try to correct it, they didn't say, well, it doesn't follow my feelings. They accepted it. They agreed that the Bible comes from the divine, holy God Himself, and they were, when you come to that agreement, you humble yourself, and that's what they did. Submit yourself, not just in one area of life, but in every area. By the way, there is a verse that prohibits us from picking apart and pulling apart and applying our feelings and putting in and taking out where we want to. Revelation chapter 22. Hold your place there and turn to Revelation 22, if you will. Revelation 22, verse 19, speaks to this matter about those who want to place their own feelings, their own presuppositions, how things have changed today, but they haven't, they're not the same as they used to be. Revelation 22, Verse 19, notice what it says. If anyone takes away from the words of this book, then it says, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. I would think that's pretty serious stuff. When you believe the Bible, you believe all of it. You get all of it. The whole bale of hay. Not part of it. You accept it all. Genesis to Revelation. All 66 books. Front to end. Cover to cover. Let me give you the second truth God wants you and I to know about believing the Bible from the text. Back in 1 Thessalonians. Believing the Bible means accepting any opposition it brings. Any opposition. Look at what it says in verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 2. For you, brothers, because imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus, you suffered from your own countrymen the same things those churches suffered from the Jews, he says. If you and I really believe the Bible, we're going to be persecuted. There's going to be some problems. If we apply this holy book to our life, we're going to have friends, we're going to have neighbors, we're going to have relatives, maybe even in our own household. It says you're taking it too far. That's not relative for today. It's not correct, politically correct. Life can be very difficult. Maybe more difficult when you and I agree with this book and accept this book and trust this book and follow this book. Maybe more difficult than you and I ever imagined. Paul uses the word here, countrymen. The word in the Greek, countrymen, means people that are closest to you. It's not found anywhere else in the New Testament. But it's those close to you. It could even be those, again, in your household. Those that you thought really were your close relatives, your close friends. What did Jesus say? If you love your father and mother more than me, you're not worthy. What he's saying is, I'm to be number one. He's saying, I'm either Lord or I'm not Savior, is what he's saying. Believing in the Bible will not exempt you from problems. It will likely increase them. When was the last time it brought you opposition? Because believing in the Bible means accepting any opposition that it brings. And if we are not going to believe all of it, don't believe any of it. If your child is not going to believe all of it, he or she don't need to believe any of it. If they're not going to believe all of it, don't believe any of it. We know it's true. We know it's holy. We know it's righteous. But men don't like light. Men prefer darkness. Believing in the Bible means accepting any opposition it brings. Believing in the Bible means believing every single word of it. Jot and tittle all of it. And the third truth I want you to know this morning, believing in the Bible means accepting judgment as well. Notice verse 15. Paul says, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets? And also drove us out. They displease God and are hostile to all men in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles, so they may be saved. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last. These are very strong words that are used here today in the text. Paul mentions four simple ways the Jewish leaders are harming the Christians. Those who believe the whole Bible, they're being persecuted. They're being harmed. Notice what they are. He says, they killed Jesus and the prophets. They didn't just offend them. They killed them. And the second thing he says, they drove them out. They said, get out of here. We don't want you in our town anymore. We don't want you on our town council. We don't want you on the board. We want you out of here. We don't like you believing what the Bible teaches. They drove them out. Third thing they say says they were hostile. Very hostile. They weren't cordial. They weren't hospitable. They were hostile. And then the last one, Paul says, they kept us from speaking and preaching the gospel. And I believe out of all of these, I believe the last one offends Paul the most. He could be killed. What does he say? He said, for me to live but and to die, for me to die is to be with Jesus. To live and die with Christ is gain. And so he wasn't afraid to die. Did you know that it's more important that you and I do right? Did you know that right and wrong is more important than life and death? Right and wrong is more important. If someone came in here and put a gun to all of us and said, deny Jesus and or die, I would hope all of us would say, we'll see you in heaven. Because Satan is a liar and a murderer and a thief. It's way more important for you and I to do the right thing than it is for you and I to try to hold on to this life and get the gusto out of it and live as long as we can. It's way more important, according to the Scripture, to do what God says, to apply this Bible to our life, to follow it, to practice it, to teach generations below us. It means accepting the judgment, though. And again, Paul says they kept us from preaching the gospel. You know, it's one thing for someone to say, I don't want the gospel. I don't want the Bible. You, whatever you want to do, you go ahead. That's one thing. But more of an egregious, more of a nefarious, even a more awful thing would be to say, I don't want the gospel. I don't want the Scriptures. And I'm going to do all I can do to keep you from getting it too. That's worse. Much, much worse. If people prefer to stay in darkness, let them stay in darkness. We're going to try to reach them. We're going to love on them. We're going to encourage them. We're going to show them the way. But that's their choice. But it's a terrible sin to put out the light so that somebody else can't see it. The greater sin is not refusing the gospel yourself, even though that's bad enough. But how dare people try to keep others from believing. What a terrible thing the people were doing. We see that in our society. For those who choose to keep the light out, don't put out the light for everybody else. If someone prefers to go the road of hell, that's their business. But please don't take a bunch of other folks with you. There are enough evil people and evil businesses and evil entities keeping folks from hearing this book and keeping folks from praying and loving and doing the things Jesus wants us to do. The ACLU, Freedom From Religion, Southern Poverty Law Center, you name it, we could go on and on and on. They not only don't want you to believe, they don't want anybody to believe. These are followers of Satan. I want you to know it's not PC for me to say that, but God did not call me to be PC, amen? He called me to preach the gospel and to spread the gospel. And I want you to know, dear friends, even some of our friends and family don't want it spread. They would rather it not be spoken, rather it not be read or uttered or prayed. And they'll do anything and everything possible, many of these groups, to keep a murderer off of death row, but will not lift a finger to save an unborn baby. In verse 16, God tells us two things about His punishment that's coming one day. His judgment on ungodly people. Notice what it says in verse 16. They heap up, it says, their sins to the limit. In other words, there is a point of no return. When someone heaps up and builds up their sins, eventually God says, that's enough. You're out of here. You've done enough damage. You've defamed me enough. And then He says, wrath has come upon them. And when it does come, the fires of hell are going to come to every single person, dead or alive, who denies Jesus, who's rejected Him as Lord. So let me wrap it up with a couple of thoughts, with this thought. Here's a question. Not are we living perfectly. We know that we're not perfect. We all sin. We sin every day in some way, whether it's omission or commission. But here's what I want you to think with me about. Has God's Word, has it changed you? Is it changing you as we speak? Are you trusting and following the one this book from Genesis to Revelation is all about? If it's yes, rejoice. If it's no, John the Baptist, Jesus, all of them said, all we have to do is repent. Repent and trust. Repent and believe. Repent of that and say, God, forgive me. I hadn't been trusting Your Word as I should. I hadn't been following Your Word. I've been listening to liberal theologians. I've been listening to so-and-so. And I've been listening to the culture. I've let myself become inoculated by all of the things on TV and everything else. And I've just allowed myself to get my mind off track, God. I'm not where I should be. If that's you, do business with God today as we pray. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your holy word. Father, right where Your people sit, I pray that they're asking themselves the question, are they following Your word? Do they love Your word? Do they appreciate Your word? Do they desire Your word, Lord? And if they've become cold and callous and lukewarm toward it, I pray, Lord, that they'll beg You for fervor, for zeal, for love for it, Lord. Because it's the only true book we have. It's Your words. It's greater than any book, Lord. It is You, Father. It's Your Son. Your Word became flesh and dwelt among us, Father. Thank You for Your Word. May we treat it as we should. In Christ's holy and righteous name, amen.